I'm going to read one more lesson from the Old Testament before I read the Gospel. It comes from the book of Haggai. It's in the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. One of my favorite Old Testament passages because it has some wonderfully difficult names to pronounce. For instance, Haggai is often mispronounced, and I'm not sure if I'm doing it correctly or not, but be that as it may, there's a special message here. Israel, the Hebrews have just returned to Jerusalem, and they're working on repairing the temple. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity, and you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a coin used for paying taxes. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is on this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that is which is God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I sat down in the most uncomfortable chair I've ever sat in. And while I was there, they moved the lever and the chair went over backwards, so I was lying down. Kind of hurt my back, bothered it. I laid there and they came in and they gave me a couple of shots of Novocaine. They were going to pull my tooth. It was not really savable. After a while, when it got really numb, they reached in with some instrument that looked like a pair of channel locks. Grabbed my tooth, kind of gave it a twist, and I heard a loud crack. Then I heard the oral urgent say, oops! Now we have to do it the hard way. Oops. A powerful word, don't you think? We say it all the time. Oops! I dropped my cane. I know I've mentioned the word name Adam Hamilton to you a few times in the past year and a half or so. He's this pastor of our largest United Methodist Church in the United States, somewhere between 16 and 20,000 members, 4 services on Sunday morning. He was talking at annual conference in Massachusetts 1 year, and he said he was really surprised. One of his parishioners had come up to him and said, Pastor Adam, I want you to know that one of the associate pastors, they have 16 of them, prays with his eyes open. Adam said he looked at him and he thought for a moment and he said, well, I'll talk with him. But how do you know his eyes are open? Whoops! In this morning gospel lesson, Jesus is being attacked with words, trying to trap him, and they say to him, is it proper to pay taxes to Caesar? Let's be very clear here now. Paying taxes to Caesar is not the same as paying taxes to our own government. Paying taxes to Caesar was paying taxes to a foreign government who had invaded and controlled the land in which they lived. So it's a very tricky question. And Jesus called them a bunch of hypocrites and said, whose picture is on the coin? And one of them pulled a coin out of his pocket and showed him, and Jesus said, whose picture is that? And he said, that's Caesar's. That's an oops moment. You have to understand this. This is something you could easily miss. First of all, there is to be no money carried into the temple at this point, especially any money with Caesar's picture on it. It's considered to be an idol. And so, first thing, Jesus caught this man with a coin in his pocket, and it was an oops moment. He got caught. You don't even need to go beyond there, but we'll just go a little bit further. Jesus said, when he was shown the picture, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God. Now there's kind of an oops moment too. What is Caesar's, and what is God's? If we look at that little reading I just did from Haggai, God said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. It's not Caesar's. Well, if the gold is not Caesar's, what is Caesar's? Nothing. Everything is God's. With his words, he kind of struck back and kind of challenged those who are questioning him to make a statement, but they couldn't say any more. They'd been caught with a coin in their pocket, and they knew the answer to his question is, nothing is Caesar's, everything is God's. Think about oops moments for a moment. Have you ever been in an oops moment? Has there ever been a time when you weren't sure what you were supposed to do, or there's been a little change in the way you planned to go, or you thought, well, maybe the brakes in the car will hold, maybe I don't have to have them fixed yet, or maybe I don't have to have my tires changed, maybe I don't have to fill up the oil, the gas tank. Oops, yes I did. God does not work under the concept of oops. You do something wrong, and God does not say, oops, I'm going to change that, zap, you're gone. That's not the way that God works in our lives. You see, God works through love. The passage that was read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, frequently known as the love passage, often used at weddings, sometimes at funerals. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Wow. Who wants to be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? Well, some people do want to be noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. They want to be noticed and they want people to see them. But that's not what we're talking about here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. It's not rude or arrogant. Love does not insist on its own way. That's pretty tough. But of course, we all do that, right? We all qualify. All of those are a description of us. It's my feeling that this 1 Corinthians passage is an attempt to describe God's love of you. We don't measure up to all the things that are mentioned in that passage, but God does, through the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. God loves you. What more can we say about that? It's rather unlikely that God, who is righteous and holy, in fact, God, who is the very definition of righteousness and holiness, loves us. There's something wrong with that. God loves us just as we are. Can that possibly be? It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how we've acted. All that matters is that God loves us. No oops moment, no severe punishment. God simply asks that you return to Him. And the season coming up in about a week and a half, which will begin with Ash Wednesday, it's a time of repentance, a time of saying, Lord, please forgive me. I have done things I ought not to have done. I have left undone things that I ought to have done. But Lord, I sincerely and earnestly repent of my sins. I set them aside, turn them over to you, and pray that by your love, you will touch my heart, fill my mind and heart with joy and love that I might share with others. God doesn't work out of the oops moment. God works with the reality of love, God's love for you and each and every individual. God loves you. God loves you now. God will love you tomorrow. God loves you in the future. And God will do everything possible to help you move from, well, the scripture says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God will help you from your sin. God will forgive your past, and God will continue to love you today and tomorrow and forever. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Go ahead and do that. No problem. Because nothing is Caesar's. Everything is God's. God created all that is. And in the fullness of his time, he sent his Son to suffer and die for you, who took your sins to the cross, that you might be forgiven. As we move slowly from Epiphany to Lent and then to Easter, keep that in mind. Probably from time to time during Lent, we will look at what it means to repent. We will look at what it means to turn everything over to God. And at Easter, we will remember that God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you now and always.